Hello, everyone. I am Nora Baldner, Assistant Professor of Communication at Quincy University. You're not used to hearing my name here on QU because I usually instruct the class that is broadcasting on QU, our podcast. But for today, I'm stepping in for a student who is not in class today for a very good reason. Don't worry, she has an excuse. It's all good. But this is QU, which is a student podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. And we're in studio today at North Campus with Katie Flynn and Tristan Graham. They're both in communication class 330, and that class is digital writing. So what they've been doing so far this semester, we've had, I think, three or four stories so far this semester, is they are actually now published authors. And so they are writing stories on campus that get published to our website, qumedia.net. And I wanted to take an opportunity on our podcast to go ahead and kind of pick their brains into their process, into what they found out, kind of the why behind they do what the stories that they bring to qumedia.net. So if you'll bear with me and excuse that a professor is coming in on this student podcast, then I think we'll just have kind of a conversation about what you guys are up to, how the semester's going so far, what to look forward to, and some of the stories that you are already writing for qumedia.net. So, Tristan, I'm going to start with you. You have found a new club that is trying to get organized on campus. It's been announced a couple of times. Have they had one or two meetings so far?
Yeah, they have one meeting.
One meeting so far.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about what the club is, what's going on with it, how did it get started, and tell me what's going on.
So the club is Turning Point USA, which is actually a national club founded by Charlie Kirk, and they appear on multiple different college campuses, and they're trying to appear here hopefully pretty soon on QU. They're going through the process, so they're not technically officially a club yet. They still need confirmation from Turning Point USA and from the school. There's a bunch of different hoops you have to jump through, especially with, for if anybody doesn't know, Charlie Kirk was assassinated in September this last year, their founder. And so right after that, I did some research on it, and there was over 54,000. And it wasn't just college campuses, but different high schools and different places that wanted to start a Turning Point organization at their local school or university. And so one of those so happened to be QU, and there was two gals, one by the name of Riley and the other by the name of Josie, who came and talked to some people at QU, some administrators, and said, hey, we wanted to start a Turning Point chapter here. And so they said, I conducted an interview with both of them, and they both kind of talked about how they had a little bit of pushback, because anytime Turning Point is a conservative movement, and so anytime you get a little political, you're obviously going to have push back from one side, right? It doesn't matter if you're right, left, middle, someone's going to be hating on you. So you're going to have pushback anyway. So they've had a couple different instances and hoops that they had to jump through, but it is a national organization that is appearing on a private university at Quincy University.
So pushback. So they went to the administration and said, we're a group of students. We have an interest in this. We'd like to start this club. This chapter, I guess it would be a chapter.
It's the right term. Yes, a chapter.
Okay, a chapter. Where did the pushback come from?
I don't know the exact names, but they said when I conducted the interview with both of them and went to their first meeting, they said that they had a little bit of pushback from the university because, again, when you get political, you're always going to have a little pushback from anybody, even though, you know, they could still agree with you, but doesn't mean that the donors all agree with it. Doesn't mean that the And again, I don't know the exact name, so I'm not going to name names, but it doesn't mean everybody is going to.
Well, it's interesting to me because I know that the administration is very supportive of what students want. And when students say, we'd like to get organized to do X, Y, Z, ABC, whatever it is. So I was thinking, were there other students that were pushing back, or was it just the start of the process can be daunting? And so was it more of, okay, but there's a lot of work you have to do prior to being approved, right?
Yeah, from my understanding, it was more pushback from the university itself and trying to get it started, and less from students. I don't think too many students even know about it just yet.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, you'll have to dig into more, a little bit of that, just to see what's happening with that. So you said you went to the first meeting.
Yes.
So tell me about that. What happened?
It was cool. It was not a whole lot of people showed up because it was in the middle of the day. And what the president and the vice president did express is that they actually messed up the meeting date and that it wasn't supposed to be last week. It was supposed to be this week. And so they had gotten them off guard. And so really they just sat everybody down, the few individuals that came, and they said, hey, we're starting a Turning Point organization here, a new chapter, and we would love if you want to be a part of it. We'll send you a link, all these different things, and kind of gave a rundown of why they wanted to start it and why they were interested in starting the Turning Point USA chapter here, what their influence was and certain things like that. And afterwards, I was able to sit down and interview them and kind of go into depth of why that really was.
So what did they tell you when you did the interviews?
So the main thing that I got from the vice president and the president were mainly they were inspired right after Charlie's assassination, which a lot of people saw online. It was, you know, horrifying for anybody to watch. It was very gory and it was just not great. But a lot of people struck, like we said, over 54 different places wanted to start a chapter. And what they said was they were inspired by Charlie's message, but also even more so, they kind of had a little fire under them after that. And their big things were freedom of speech and students being able to express their own opinions, but not only express their opinions, but have civil debate. And that was one of the things that they felt like Charlie stood on, because Charlie would go to multiple different college campuses. That's where he was assassinated, was at a college campus. And so they wanted to talk to their fellow peers, fellow students, different things like that, and kind of discuss and debate different things, what's going on, like policies, taxes, all these different things that affect people every single day. Kind of like we talk about, some people just don't even realize, but you're getting taxed on X, Y, and Z, and that you just don't even think about it, right? But things that affect different people, and just being able to talk about those things, right? When you don't talk about those things, then bad things starts to happen. So having that civil debate, that was the main driving force for them, to give students a voice, in a sense, and a platform to encourage civil debate. So they're not even like, hey, if you don't agree with us, like, you're not allowed. That's not what they're saying. That's not the vibe that I got from them. I got more of a, hey, we're including everybody, and we just want to be able to have civil debate, talk about different things, express why you think you're right and why I think I'm right, and how we can find a common ground.
So did you actually interview someone?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I interviewed both the president and the vice president, and Riley, the president, gave a good understanding and a good reasoning for why she wanted to do. And this is what she said.
So after what happened with Charlie Kirk and everything, I was already interested in starting a chapter, but that kind of pushed my want to do it. So then I talked to my family and I realized that more people need to be more vocal, speak up. And it's not even like difference of belief. I feel like there's so much like stigma around talking about your beliefs on campus, even if you believe in what I do or what I don't believe in. So that really helped me push me to like, oh, I need to do this. I need to be the one to start it and talk about it more. And then when I started talking about it and I realized more people wanted to do it, it really just like solidified my decision to being like, this is what I'm going to do.
Okay, so she does explain that a little bit. Let me ask you this. We'll put aside, I'm going to think that a little bit of the pushback from the administration might have been just the process it takes to organize a new club, to align yourself with a national organization.
For sure.
Because, you know, just looking at their website, there is a student handbook and it's like 60 pages long. There is a lot that you have to do in order to be called a chapter or claimed a chapter or join is, I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your response, or what were members of the group's response to criticisms of this group maybe bringing in an element of where people really do disagree and they're uncomfortable with that? So how did they kind of get around that?
You're talking about the president and the vice president. They said that they already kind of felt like they were going to get a little bit of pushback. One, because like you said, it's not just easy. You're not just signing a piece of paper saying, hey, look at me, I'm an organization, I'm a chapter now. You have to do a bunch of different things. Like we said, it's not even official yet. They're still in the works and they still need to be approved by Turning Point. And that is a long process, especially with all the different people. But they kind of assumed, from my understanding, they assumed that they were going to get a little bit of pushback. But in their minds, that kind of made them want even more hungry, so to speak. And they felt like, hey, you know, if we're going to get pushed back for what we believe, we're really going to stand on what we believe even more so.
So as you know, as we kind of wrap up this story and get to another one, as you know, we are at a private university and technically not covered by the First Amendment. Legally, if we had to take something to court, we wouldn't technically be covered. But I will say this from my years at Quincy University, our president does support the First Amendment and does, he's a PhD in communication. So he's, he does accept it, backs it, all that good stuff. But it's a really interesting intersection between the private school and the First Amendment.
Yeah,
so
for
that
sure.
will be really interesting if that group, if they are able to maybe hold an event or do something, you know, that looks at the First Amendment, that gives everyone their First Amendment rights and understands the difference between being on a private university and being at a public university.
For sure. Yeah, I think that QU will be very accepting of it, as they are with a lot of their religious classes. Now, that you have to take a certain amount of religious classes, but every single professor or friar that is teaching that class is very open about, hey, you believe what you want to believe. We're not going to push, which is also a First Amendment
Franciscan.
Right.
That's Franciscan, right?
For sure. That's your First Amendment right. Also is freedom of religion, right? And so I think that the university will be very accepting and is very accepting about those things, especially when it comes to amendments.
Okay. So Katie, let's bring you into the conversation. So you got a chance to work on a story associated with Black History Month. So obviously it is February. QUTV, I'll give a plug for the TV station here. QUTV is doing a Black History Month commemorative special edition tomorrow. So look for that on qumedia.net. You'll see that up in the right-hand corner of that website. What did you find out when you went looking for a story associated with Black History Month?
Yeah, in my story, I talked about before every athletic game, GLBC teams have been playing the anthem, Lift Every Voice, to celebrate Black History Month in the month of February. And then Quincy University actually knew this year, created this video. And it's just to celebrate and appreciate, showcase historical Black figures over the years. And so these include Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Jackie Robertson, just very important figures in our lives. And so I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Jim Lawrence and Karen Kimner, who created this video and really had the idea to put it together. And so they worked very hard for many months leading up to now. And I think they really just want to make an impact for all students here at QU and help them feel seen. And I feel like that is what the point of was this video, was to really help them, and during this anthem, be able to look up and watch a video that really means something for people. I had the chance to talk to Jim, and he let me in on some information that really helped create this video and bring it together, and here's what he had to say.
Well, in previous years, we've basically had a still graphic up, you know, during the start of the games, during Black History Month. And we thought it would be a great idea to showcase some of the famous Black historical figures in history at these events this year. So we put a video together highlighting some of the accomplishments by historical Black figures in our country throughout the years.
So, Katie, you are on the women's basketball team. Mm-hmm. Have you heard this anthem when you're warming up, or is it played right before the game? When is it played in the gym?
It's played right after the national anthem or before, depends on the team. For us specifically, we play it actually before the anthem. And I've heard it. I mean, I've been a GLVC member for the past couple of years now, so I have heard it at all these different schools and teams. But I do feel like Quincy University does a good job of making it feel important, not just something that you listen to. Creating this video, I feel like it does talk about like how important these people in our lives and how they've created such an impact for Black History Month, not just in February, but all the time. And so I think it's really great that GLVC makes it a priority to play this anthem and to lift other people up in the process.
So you kind of just answered my next question, but why did you think it was important to do this story, to point out that this particular anthem is being played? Is it just at home games, or it's across the league, right? So it's everywhere.
I will say there are a few GLBC teams who have not played the anthem. I don't believe it's intentional. I just feel like some teams make it more of a priority. I will say probably only a couple of teams have not played it during the month of February, but we've been traveling these past couple of weeks, and so I've had the opportunity to see other schools and how they incorporate into it before the game. And so that's really great to see how people are making an importance of Black History Month and just how much like it means to people. I got the opportunity to talk to Sydney Runsway, who's a women's basketball player, and she talked a lot about how Quincy University, how it's always made her feel included. And so during this month of February and Black History Month, she says she really feels seen and just feels important from this video because it shows that people have taken the time to care about Black History Month.
So in your travels, are you going to say that QU's presentation was the best one?
I am going to say QU's was the best one for sure.
Because this video was created. Yes. Did other schools have videos or did they just have the audio?
No,
music
just
part?
The audience.
Yeah. I know. Yep. QU does really well at that. Well, Jim Lawrence does really well at that, right? Okay. So what's next? What's next for, first of all, what's next for your team? Because I know we're at a really important part of the season right now.
Yes.
So let's take a left turn on that and just say what's going on with basketball.
We play Thursday at home against Lewis, and then we'll travel to and play UND on Saturday. And as of right now, we need to win one more game to secure that spot in the GLVC tournament. So I think we're just working really hard this week and putting in the time and the effort and hopefully going to get that opportunity to play for the tournament.
So hopefully that support shown by QU, not only to your team and your teammates, but any team that has traveled here, that has played here, you know, we kind of upped the bar a little bit, right? We said, well, that's fine. We'll play that, but we're going to take it one step further. And I love that you said that a player thought that they were seen and they were being seen and that the respect was there. And that was really good. So good luck to you.
Thank you.
To your team, because, you know, we'll all be watching and hopefully carry you to the GLVC tournament for sure. Tristan, back to you. What is next for Turning Point? What is their next strategy in this formation of this group?
Yeah, so for what I understood, obviously being official, that's the big thing for them right now, getting that confirmation from Turning Point. But they also did express one thing that is going to be a little different here is they won't set up shop like Charlie did, and they won't, in a sense, create a huge crowd and have a bunch of people. Now they will do different civil debates in different areas around campus, but they didn't want to make too much of a scene or make it too, just because of the recent situations and incidents. And we understand anytime you talk about politics or religion, people always get it's always personal with a lot of people, and so that can invoke people to act certain ways. And so they didn't want to have that on their hands, so to speak. And so one of the things that they talked about was they encourage freedom of speech, they encourage civil debate. However, that was one of the things that they were not going to do here at Quincy University.
So without getting too far into politics, although I think we could have a really fun podcast if we only talked about politics. But, you know, back in my day, when I was in school, obviously Turning Point didn't exist, but we had young Republicans, young Democrats. And so those were the two student groups that, you know, would have political discourse or that would run for political office, student government. And we're starting up student government again here at Quincy University.
Yep.
It's been gone since 2021?
Around
2020, then. Maybe a little bit before that.
Before I was here, yeah.
Right, yeah. It's been 5 or 6 years probably before we've had student government. I mean, COVID kind of put a brakes on a lot of different things, but it's coming back. This group is starting up. Perhaps, you know, something on the other side of the spectrum will start up as well. But what is the impression for your generation? It's interesting to me that Turning Point doesn't associate with a party, correct?
I don't know. Necessarily. I know they are conservative, which is not a party, obviously, but they did endorse President Trump since 2016, since 2015 when he announced that he was going to run.
So if they, okay, so being conservative is one thing.
For sure.
I mean, if they're aligning, are they aligning with the Republican Party, would you say?
I would say on most things. Now, I don't even think, because I think it's hard to say, and okay. I don't want to be the judge. However, because I don't want to speak on their behalf. However, from my understanding, I think everybody's understanding is that they do support the current president. They do support mainly the Republican Party. Now, I'm sure Turning Point has problems with something that, you know, Republicans do, right? They don't always just align with.
Well, both parties are, you know, kind of split. Republicans are having a split, you know, kind of a public split. But
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So it's interesting to see if they're going to align or if they're going to endorse. Now, bringing that to the QU level, will they endorse a student for student government?
I wonder. I think that's a possibility for sure. I have no idea. But I guess the future will tell. We'll see.
Yeah. Katie, what do you think about politics on campus? Do you think students should be outspoken and have different groups? Or what is your view of politics at your stage in life?
I think it's to each its own. I mean, if that's something that plays a big role in your life and you feel like talking about it and speaking about it with others and finding people who also believe the same things as you, I think that's a good way for people to find connections and build relationships with people. So I really think it depends on the person if they want to be outspoken and talk about political things like that.
It's so interesting to watch you go through your political awakening. I don't know if that's the right word. That's kind of, but your political, you're coming into your political beliefs, your views, you're looking at the world, you know, at a time right now where the country is pretty divided. And it's interesting from my perspective, you know, several years older than you guys, to watch you go through this process and say, hey, you know, there's this club coming up and everyone needs to just, you know, figure out where they belong and what's happening and how does that reflect into national politics. And you've got some good history. We've got good history professors here. We've got good political science professors here who can kind of, you know, show you the lay of the landscape kind of thing and tell you, hey, this is the history of what happened. You guys are at a extremely interesting point in history where you are starting to decide, you know, voting and who you're going to support and that sort of thing. In Illinois, we have a primary coming up March 17th. Are your friends, are people on campus aware of that? Are they looking at that politically? Do you know if people are registered to vote? Do you guys talk about that kind of stuff?
I wouldn't say that me and my friends talk about. That's not something that we just like, hey, yo, what about the Illinois primary?
The primary's coming up.
They'd be like, Tristan, what are you talking about? Shut up. Let's talk about football or something, right? But
should you?
Well, I'm a Missouri resident, so I don't really give a hoot.
So when is your primary in Missouri?
I have no idea.
I think it's in April.
Possibly.
I don't know.
I haven't looked into it.
I'm not sure.
No, I think a lot of kids, I call us kids, young adults. I think a lot of young adults on college campuses, that's not their number one priority. That's not something that they're thinking about. I think maybe later down the line. But that just comes with time and wisdom. Like a lot of people say, the older you get, the more involved you get, or because you see how much it affects you. I think kids my age or young adults my age are more concerned with Madden or NCAA or playing video games, waste of time, right? So, but no, from my understanding, not everybody that I'm friends with is even from, let alone the United States or the state of Illinois. So,
yeah, we have a great international population here on campus. Mm-hmm. And it's always so interesting to see them look at us, isn't it? You know, right? Like we have one international student in another class that Katie and I have. And mm-hmm. If topics come up, I always kind of just glance over and I just wonder what they're thinking, you know, and what their impression is. And because, they were raised in a different culture. And so they come in looking at us and I'm always curious as to their opinions. What do you think, Katie?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I honestly, there's so many things that are going on that they have never experienced because they don't have it where they're from. And so I know Freya, who's in our class, she's from Denmark, and she's been telling us a lot about the social media thing and how they're getting ready to make it 16 and above. And so that's just a crazy thing to think about for here in the United States, because it's such a common thing, especially for young children, honestly, to be on social media.
Right. But do you guys, let's switch to that. We'll get out of politics. Tristan is like, oh, thank goodness. But also, we could go for several hours on that kind of stuff. But do you guys feel cheated in any sense? Because so much of your life is spent on social media. Do you ever feel like, because we do know that social media companies tried to get you addicted, tried to get us addicted. We're all addicted to social media or some kind of, you know, platform, right? Do you feel like you're missing out on anything because you're watching reels or watching stories of ridiculous videos that don't make sense anyway? Maybe that's just me. But is there a point in your life where you're like, we just have to interact with other human beings and put these phones down and talk to each other?
Yeah, I feel like social media has played a giant role in our lives. There's pros and cons, of course. I do feel like, in a sense, that people are losing sight of face-to-face communication. But for me, in Tristan's case, I mean, we're in a social media class with you. And so also that's something else that we're learning for our future as well, being in communication. So that is a positive that comes from it.
Well, and learning how to leverage it to do business or commerce or capitalism or what have you. And, you know, what are the ins and outs of it, but that sort of thing. But it's interesting because countries are... So Australia has already limited, right, social media to 16 and older, right? Why are you laughing?
I just, I just thought it was funny. I don't know. I have two, I don't know.
So
you I don't feel cheated, by the way, either.
You don't feel cheated?
No, it's a choice. So I don't blame my drug dealer if I have one, if I'm a crack addict for, you know, him wanting me to be addicted to crack in a sense. Like, I don't blame the social media companies because if you're taking a drug, you know, it's your fault for taking the drug. The drug's addictive. The social media is addictive.
Okay, wait,
I grew up with amazing parents. And so I actually wasn't, you know, I wasn't allowed to play video games growing up. You know, it sucked when I go to my friend's house and he wants to play Call of Duty.
And
I'm like, how do I press the shoot button? You know what I mean?
Okay, but wait, back up. Because I would compare the addiction to social media like the addiction to cigarettes. You understand when cigarettes came out, they said it was healthy for you, right? They put menthol in the cigarette and said, oh, this will clear up your lungs. This will make you healthy. So I'll push back on that a little bit and say that social media companies might not have known the extent of the addiction, but there have been whistleblowers and there's memos out that they knew it was addicting.
For sure. At the end of the day, it's still,
before we did.
It's still a choice at the end of the day, I think. And that's all about how you're raised, right? I think when you go to, like, I work in a restaurant, right? And when I go and I see kids, the first thing that they do, they're pulling out their iPad, right?
I know.
And it's like, my mom wishes I would, right? If I was that age. But that's just how I was raised, right? That's just like with anything, right? Some kids got spankings as a kid, some kids didn't. And you see that later down the line. It's actually very clear. However, in my opinion, I think it's a choice at the end of the day, right? If you choose, and it starts at the home with
but
everything.
But also it's like, okay, but I'm going to go to 10,000 feet. It's not a choice to wear a seatbelt. I mean, it's a choice to wear a seatbelt, obviously. But does society have a responsibility that once they find out something is dangerous to people, to at least say, hey, this is dangerous, you shouldn't have it,
very aware that it's dangerous. I think they're so comfortable. I think that's one of the biggest problems in society is that you could tell people, hey, this is addictive, this is bad for you. And they're like, whatever. It's comfortable to me. It's not a problem, right? We have an obesity problem. Hey, eating this much food is bad for you. It's okay. I'm just comfortable. It's not bad enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but so I mean, that's a simplistic because there are people who can't control.
I think David Goggins would have something to say about that.
But it's not. Sometimes in some people, it's not an amount of eating. It is there can be a metabolism.
Whatever your excuse is. Yeah.
Yeah. But also like, okay, but. Also, again, like my generation, sitting at a dinner table with rowdy toddlers and you just want to have kind of a nice meal and, you put the headphones on and an iPad and you can have a nice meal after a long day of work. But do I really know how addicting that's going to be and how harmful that can be? I mean, we're talking, you know, young teenage girls have committed suicide over Instagram, for heaven's sake, right? I mean, there is a level of danger that we get to. Choice or not at the beginning, at some point, doesn't society have a responsibility to say, we're going to put some safeguards on? So for Australia, for Denmark, who are looking at this going, you know, the risks outweigh the benefits. And so there's a structured way to use this. And once you reach 16 and older, you can drive and you can you know, have your own social media account. Now, how that's going to come out in the wash, who knows? How do you enforce it? You know, how do you really prove that someone is not 11 and they're not on mm-hmm. Snapchat or what have you?
But, yeah, I think there'll be a lot more pushback in the United States. I think the people of the United States are a little less lenient and bend less of a knee than people like in Australia or in Denmark, countries like those that are smaller than the United States when it comes to population. And I think just as Americans, you know, you have this kind of rebelliousness. I think everybody has that
personal freedom
for sure. Like that's how the country was started, right? Hey, you're going to tax us on tea, you know, screw you. Right now, we're not going to talk about how we get taxed like 50-60%, but whatever, again, maybe we're screwed. I don't know. But I think those countries are a little bit more lenient. So I think there'll be a little bit more pushback in the United States.
Yeah. Do you mean strict instead of lenient? What do you mean by lenient?
I mean the people of those countries, and
they're more willing to
bend a knee, give a little bit more of their freedom. Whereas in the United States, in the United States, I think maybe less now, but I think there's a little bit more rebelliousness to us and like, hey, you're not going to take away our freedoms, right?
Yeah. You know what? Let's do this podcast again if you guys so choose to have children. And they're at 10 years old begging to have a Facebook. They're not going to be. It's not going to be Facebook. It'll be. What was the other one we talked about the other day? Upscrolled is the new one.
Facebook's
and,
a joke.
Yeah, Facebook. Not Facebook. Your
Facebook.
Kids.
No, it's a joke.
Your kids won't be on that. Well, if you're in commerce, if you're selling anything, you better be on Facebook. But I digress. Okay. We got to wrap this up. But first, what is the next story that you're working on? What story do you want to do on campus that you haven't been able to grasp yet? I'm getting some pretty surprised looks, but I'll let Tristan, you think about it. What's your next story? Katie, what have you got up your sleeve?
So for my next story, I'm going to be conducting some interviews with some nurses who are also athletes here on campus and just talking about their schedules and how much time they have to really do anything else. Because I know I've got a friend who's a nurse who's also on the basketball team, and her schedule is crazy. I don't know how she has time to sleep or get anything done. I really don't. And so I will say, like, I do think you're going to see a lot of people who are nurses maybe not finish out their athletic career because, I mean, unfortunately, when you get to Blessing, it doesn't cover, your athletic scholarship doesn't cover that. And so that might be a problem to see later in the future. So I'm interested to find that out when I interview some people.
So you're basically saying the nursing program is really rigorous.
Yes.
And it takes a lot of time
for sure.
It's a pretty serious, as it should be.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to, you know, end up in the ER with a nurse who didn't go to class,
yes,
right? Or failed whatever, biology. So that'll be fascinating because I have heard that, you know, sometimes Quincy University will bend a little bit and, you know, to accommodate and hopefully help the student get through maybe some scheduling difficulties or something like that.
Yes.
Have you heard that as well?
Yes, for sure.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. I'm interested in that story and see how they're going to go. Tristan, have you come up with anything yet?
I have a couple different things that I've been looking at. You know, it's always there's always a lot to pick from. So one of the things I've been looking more into is the sports on campus. Baseball just started up again. They have some games this weekend. Basketball has their last home game coming up here. So shout out to Katie's team.
Right.
So I think I have a couple different choices, but I haven't picked one. It's definitely different. It's very hard to pick.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing what your next story is, and we will talk about it on the QU podcast as we get going this semester and get you guys kind of doing this on a more regular basis. So that's our goal. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Tristan. We appreciate you here. Thank you for listening to QU. This has been a production of the QU Media Podcast Network.